Good evening, everyone. Let the record indicate it is now 5:02 PM and the Finance Committee for the City of Warwick is called to order. First item is PCR 67-26. And first item is 2027-049, Munisupport and Update.
Court up.
Good evening, Director.
Municipal Court Update?
Say what? Munis, what did I say?
I thought you said Municipal Court.
I probably did.
I cannot give an update on the Municipal Court.
My colleague said you heard wrong. It wasn't my fault.
That's me. Phil Carlucci, IT Director. It's a rare opportunity I get to be first on the list. I think this is the only time. It's my number one expense item for the year. This is a request under City Ordinance 56-6 to award the Munis Software Maintenance Contract to Tyler Technologies in the amount of $310,347.08. This represents an approximately 10% increase over last year's invoice. However, I wanted to point out that for whatever reason, there's a training component to the ERP system we use, and that has always been a separate quote each year, and we submitted it separately. This year, they put it all into one, so it's about $8,000. It's the same price. That piece did not go up from last year. It was $7,000. $995 last year. It's the same thing this year. We also have two modules that we started that were prorated at the previous invoice, and this is the first full year we'll have for those. That was the citizen self-service and the employee self-service modules that we're using.
So actually, when you combine both, it really wasn't a 10% increase, right?
It was about 7%, actually.
Okay. And have you found that this is pretty well the norm for this type of stuff, that price increase?
We always look at 10% being average. 15 is on the high end. Every once in a while, you'll get a 3 or 5% increase, but software tends to go up somewhere between 5 to 15%, with 10% being right in the middle. So I'd say this is on the lower middle side of the increases we get. It's just a large number. It's our number one software package.
But what's the alternative, right?
Well, I'll take this opportunity for my annual public service announcement to let you know that this cost has a, somebody's, I'm not sure whose mic's open, but this cost is actually has a potential to double. The reason being is they did not do it this year, but just like every other software company, we run this on premise. So we bought the software, we pay a maintenance fee to maintain it, but we run it here on our servers. Somewhere in the near future, Tyler will no longer offer that as an option. When I say the near future, probably in the next year or two. At that point in time, you would have to use what they refer to as their SaaS offering, S-A-A-S, Software as a Service. They take the program, they update it, they run it on their hardware, you connect to it, yada, yada, yada. It has some cost savings, certainly not to the tune that they charge. We have tried our darndest to negotiate with them over the last couple years to say, what incentive could you do? Let's say it's a $300,000 increase. Could you give us a $100,000 increase the first year, a $200,000 increase the second year, and then go to a $300,000 increase the third year so we could ramp up? Three times we've taken that to senior management at Tyler, and three times they said no. I still am hopeful that when they get down to having to push their last customers to the SaaS offering, that they'll be more pliable and a little more negotiating in it. But for this year, we decided just for, you know, trying to cut down on cost, obviously, we're going to stay with on-premise for the year. Okay. And, you know, like I said, there are some savings when you go to a SaaS solution. They're just not significant enough to motivate us right now.
Okay. It also says update licensing with PACE 9 training days. Is that meaning that there's 9 training days that we're going to receive?
Yes.
We
get, there they are rather flexible. We've utilized in the past, certainly the educational days we use, they'll come in, they'll do a class for whoever, whatever department they want to do. It gives you a couple free tickets to their annual conference. They do evaluations of a given module, say the general ledger or purchasing. They'll come in and evaluate and tell you where you're not best utilizing the software, maybe some functionality that they'll open up for you. That's all included in there. And they sometimes will let us kind of use consulting service and call it training.
Now, with this Munis support that we're going to be approving tonight, is the school department going to be hooking up with us on the Munis stuff?
Actually, the school department is using their SaaS solution. I just don't know how efficiently they're using it. We have had esoteric conversations about a potential. The way you structure any ERP system, and certainly it's true with Tyler, is a hierarchy. If we were to put Warwick as the hierarchy, you then could break out the city and the school department as two separate entities under those. And they can run autonomously, but at the same time, figures could be rolled up significantly into the general ledger, so you could actually have, rather than some of the manual transactions and journal entries we do now. So there is an opportunity, but at this point in time, we're basically on two different systems, even though it's both Munis.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Have any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, thank you, Director.
Thank you.
We will move on to item number 2, found on page 7, 2027-038A, medical supplies and medications. Good afternoon, Chief.
Good afternoon, Assistant Chief Umbenhauer from the Fire Department. Fire Department reviewed bid 2027-038A. Six vendors submitted bids, and the Fire Department is recommending 3 vendors that have proposed the lowest prices. We're recommending the following 3 vendors: Ballantree Medical, Henry Schein, and Life Assist Inc. The current bid expires July 20th of this year. We're requesting a 1-year bid effective 7/21/26 through 7/20/27, in an amount not to exceed $157,500.
Chief, on these medical supplies, I know we have a list in here of lots and lots of supplies. These supplies, is this something that the city charges the insurance companies for, or what we have mutual aid communities? Do we charge these folks for these supplies that we use?
Yeah, it's part of the rescue billing. This is all the supplies that they use on the rescues. Medications, disposable supplies, reusable supplies and equipment. But the charge that we pay for the rescue billing, it's a flat fee for a BLS transport or advanced life support transport. And then if certain procedures and medications are given, like the higher level stuff, those are billed out separately. So yeah, there is a charge, a flat charge for most of the stuff, and then a higher charge for the more advanced equipment.
So how does the city or fire department keep track of the actual cost to the taxpayers for these medical supplies versus the revenue we receive from insurance companies or mutual aid communities that we invoice?
So there's not a direct correlation because, like I said, the rescue bill is a flat fee. So we don't charge like per item used if it's a disposable supply, kind of like a hospital would. The way the rescue billing works, it's a flat charge unless it's one of the higher advanced level things. We do keep track of what we use and what we order separately, but it's not really related to the actual billing cycle itself.
So
it'd be like a cost of doing business. Would be kind of, the best way I can analogize it is the entire amount that we get in rescue billing, part of the expense that goes towards that rescue billing expense, in addition to the personnel costs and the vehicles, is the supplies and equipment that we use.
So what's the formula that you use to assess for the cost of these medical supplies? You say it's included in the billing that we provide to whomever. What is it? Is in that billing, is it 2%, 5%, 10%? How do you get a number that is going to be applied to offset this expense of $157,500?
The fire department doesn't assess that. That's set in city ordinance. So the city ordinance is what sets that billing fee. So you guys set that billing fee. And it's, I believe in discussions with finance, typically it's like an average of the top 10 departments billing rates in the area. And like, I think that's kind of how they use, that's kind of what they use for their gauge of the billing. But that's what we do and set. And then that's set in that city ordinance, those rates.
So I think what you've just suggested is that I need to do some homework on how we can account for what we're paying or what the taxpayers are paying and what we're being reimbursed for. Got it. Bear with me 1 minute. Okay, thank you, Chief. Some other questions. What did you spend in this line item last year?
Last year? Well, this current fiscal
year. Why say this year? I'm sorry. Yep. I mean fiscal year 2026. Yeah.
To date, in fiscal year 2026, we spent $82,580. Last year in 2025, we spent in a total fiscal year, it was about $123,590.
And so this year's budget was $144,000, right? Fiscal year 2026?
I believe so, yeah. That's what currently okay. What our budget is.
And on May 18th, there was an encumbrance total of $30,652. So it's about 2 weeks ago. Have you received the product that is reflected in that encumbrance?
I don't do that. The EMS chief is the one who orders and does the receiving of that stuff. If it's encumbered and not actually has a check wrote to them yet, that means probably it's either hasn't been received or it's been received. The invoice just hasn't been processed through finance yet. But typically that stuff comes in within like 2 or 3 days. So I would assume that it would be in by now. It's just, we're just processing the invoice.
I'm asking because that's about 1/5 of your total budget, actually a little bit less than 1/5. But if that material has not been received yet, it makes me ask the question again, why are you stepping up 13,000 more this year than last year?
So the cap on this is just matches the budget for the fiscal year. So almost 100% of what we spend in that EMS supplies budget is from this bid. So typically what I do is I take whatever the awarded budget is for the fiscal year and I put that as our spending authority. So this year, that line got $157,500. Originally, I went out for more, but then when that budget got cut down before it came to the council, I reduced that number before it got here.
So are you saying that in this fiscal year, ending June 30th, that you expect to have expensed out $157,500?
Nope, that's next fiscal year. This is for next fiscal year.
Okay.
And that's the budget for next fiscal
year. For this year, you're looking to be somewhere around that $144,000?
We're gauging on that. Since we spent $123,000 last year, we typically go up every year things get more expensive and we get a larger volume of runs every year. So I'd expect to be at or a little bit more than that 123,000, yes.
So tell me what you spent so far this year.
$82,580.
$82,500. And that's as of today?
Yes.
And you expect to spend another $62,000 between now and the end of June?
I hope not, but that may very well exist. The way that the EMS chief does his ordering is in bunches. So he does some things on a monthly basis for resupply, and he does larger things on a quarterly basis. So he may be wrapping up that quarterly basis one right now, which is typically a pretty expensive order when he does do it.
Okay, that's all I have for right now. Anyone from the committee have any questions? Any members of the council have any questions? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Thank you, Chief. Hearing none, we'll move on to item 3, 2027-050, Telephony Services, found on page 39.
Phil Carlucci, IT Director. This is a request under City Ordinance 56-6 to award the city's telephony services to Cox Communication in the amount of $121,000. This accounts for 12 months of service starting in July 1st, 26 through June 30th, 27, covering our desk phones, VoIP integration through those voicemail and those services that go around it. Our average bill is just under about $1,100 a month. It varies depending on what we've cleaned up at any given time, if we can find phones that are not in use, or if someone needs a phone that for a new position.
And this isn't something that, if we don't approve it, that's okay, because we have other options. There is no other options, right?
I think you could ask just about any employee, if you took their desk phone away, would they be upset? But the only other option would be to go out to bid, and then there's an argument on who owns the phone numbers. So it'd be a revamping of all the phone numbers in direct inward dialing, the DID numbers mm-hmm. to the city. So it would be a major undertaking, and I doubt you would find that great a cost savings without going to a lesser service. I will give Cox credit. The service that they do provide us, we're just going through an entire upgrade of all the desk phones that within reason has no cost to the city. And they're very responsive. So it's worked out well for us.
Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Muto.
Hi, Director.
Hello.
Just a clarification. You said our bills were $1,100 a month.
It varies between $9,400, $9,500. I've seen them come in. That's where we come up with the estimate of about $121,000.
Okay.
There's the budget, and this was talked about at the budget. It used to be IT would pay the entire thing, and at the end of the year, they would do a distribution to the different cost centers, which I never saw. This year, we noticed when I started the budget, the six-month cost was like $90,000, including some Verizon stuff in my telephony bill. When we got to the budget hearings, the nine-month had been in my account was down to 60. So I had gotten a $30,000. That had, to the best of my knowledge, that had never happened before that early. So the distribution, we've taken the budget dollar amount down, but the city pays in the vicinity of $120,000 a year by whatever cost centers it's charged to.
Thank you. You clarified my second question, which is the correct pronunciation of...
I did not say anything. Councilman Lattiser, notice I did not say anything.
Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, thank you, Director. We'll move on to item number 4, 2027.
Phil Carlucci, IT Director.
Okay. I'm going to make a motion to pause the Finance Committee meeting as of 5:25 for a brief period. I'm going to make that motion to pause to 5:25. At 5:25, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And I will defer to the Council President to explain. Thank you.
Hi, all. We're going to just break for a moment, and then we'll swap to intergovernmental so we can do something time sensitive. Sorry for the unusual order of things.
Good evening. Time is now 5:27. Intergovernmental comes to order. First item of business, we have two appointments to the Historic District Commission. We're going to go in reverse order here because I think there's a time constraint. So first up is going to be Caitlin Greeley from Ward 1. This is a new appointment to the Historic District Commission. Good evening, Ms. Greeley. How are you?
Good evening. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Thank you for joining us tonight. I'll open up. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll open up the floor to you first. Tell us a little bit about your background and your interest in serving on the Historic District Commission.
Absolutely. So I have a Bachelor's of Arts degree in Architectural Studies and Art History from Connecticut College and a Master of Urban Planning from the University of Michigan. I worked for 4 years for the City of Boston as a preservation planner, as a staff for 3 different historic districts, including Beacon Hill, which you may know as one of the oldest historic districts in the country. And then I moved on to work for the Division of Statewide Planning, and I'm still there, been there since about 2013. And I work with municipalities, I provide technical assistance, help develop state guide plans, and help municipalities develop their comprehensive plans and also review them.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Appreciate that overview, and appreciate you stepping up to help out in your home town of Warwick, Rhode Island. Do any members of the committee have any questions of Ms. Greeley on her appointment?
Seeing none.
Members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
Just, pardon me, just wanted to briefly say thank you for coming here to the city council. Thank you for volunteering for the commission. It's important work, doesn't get a lot of thanks, so want to make sure to give thanks. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Okay, any other members of the council? All right, seeing none. Any members of the public have any comment to add on Ms. Greeley's appointment to the district commission? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion.
Motion to move favorable action on appointment.
Second.
All right. Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Welcome to the Historic District Commission.
Thank you very much.
Good luck. Okay. Next up, item one, Mr. Tyler Baum, also to the Historic District Commission. Mr. Baum, you're here. Why don't you just... Well, you can give that one a try. Is the light green? Yeah, try this one, Mr. Baum.
First test.
Hello, Council.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for stepping forward to be part of the District Commission. Why don't you, I'll give you the floor. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your interests.
Sure. So I am currently a practicing architect at DBVW Architects in Providence. I've been there for 7 years, and before that I was in Boston for 5 years. I have 13 years of architectural experience. I graduated from the University of Oregon with my Bachelor of Architects degree. I'm particularly excited about this appointment as I live in the Gaspé area and grew up in Edgewood. My father was a historic architect himself who preserved historic colonial homes and barns. So I grew up, you know, frequenting Patuxent Village, and I have a long history of, you know, with the area. So
great.
It's where me and, you know, where I decided to move from Boston and have my family. So it's very important for me to uphold the historic heritage of these special places.
Thank you so much. There's so much history in this great city, and we appreciate the work that the District Commission does to preserve it. So thank you very much. Members of the committee, any questions for Mr. Baum? Seeing none, members of the council? Councilman Foley.
How are you doing? Thank you. If I read this right, you're from Ward 1 on Fair Street?
Yes.
Thank you for stepping up. Always glad to have more members from my area to take part in these committees. Thank you. Thank you for coming forward.
My pleasure.
Any other members of the council? Seeing none, any members of the public? Anything to add on Mr. Baum's appointment? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion.
Motion to move favorable action on appointment.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Congratulations. Welcome to the Historic District Commission.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have one other item, Mr. President. Yes. Okay. So you want to do it now? Okay. All right, great. We have one other item before the committee this evening. This is PCR 56-5-26 sub A, resolution establishing a task force to review, make recommendations regarding the modernization, sustainability, economic development potential of the city's athletic and recreational fields. Primary sponsor, Councilman Muto. What is your pleasure, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. After speaking with Councilman Knapper on the existing recreational panel, we're going to pull this one and let you guys do the good work that needs to get done.
Okay. Do we have a motion to withdraw?
Motion to withdraw. Okay. Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. There being no further business before the committee, we will adjourn at 5:34.
Thank you all for being so accommodating. We can go right back to finance now.
Let the record indicate it is 5:35 p.m. and the Finance Committee is back in order. I want to thank everyone for indulging us with this bit of a switch that we needed to do. And we will continue on. I believe we left off on the telephony services.
We completed the telephony.
That's just a little humor. Okay, network connectivity, citywide network, found on page 41.
Phil Carlucci, IT Director. This is a request to award the existing portion of the city's network currently covered by Ocean to Ocean Inc. in the amount of $118,895.12, covering the period July 1st, 2026 through June 30th, 2027. This is a piggyback off of the state's MPA 308, which covers Ocean's services to most of the municipalities, state agencies, hospitals, and other nonprofits, schools and nonprofits. This request is approximately 1% higher than that last year's. The reason is they've actually changed, Ocean changed the way they charge their members. This change was obviously very advantageous for the city. It is kind of a co-op where we're buying our services because we're a municipality. Their services are only available to nonprofits within the state of Rhode Island, some little bit in Massachusetts, mostly in Rhode Island. So they came up and they started talking about how many circuits and came up with a complex little thing. And I asked, what's the impact on the city? They said, well, it probably saved you about 7 or 8% increase this year. And I said, okay, I like that. And we fully supported their change. So their services, if you remember back just a few years ago, not to certainly disparage Cox, but in the private sector, we were paying about $300,000 for the same service, actually slower service, was about $300,000 in the private sector. By switching our fiber network, the backbone of the city's network, over to Ocean, we were able to save the city considerable dollars.
We have any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
Hearing none, we will move on to item number 5, 2026-461, found on page 51. Furnish and install carrier air-cooled chillers.
Good evening, Christy Moretti, Public Works. We're requesting to have a new air-cooled chiller installed at the Pilgrim Senior Center. This unit runs the air conditioning system. It is being recommended to be awarded to Phalanx Engineering in the amount of $93,010, no cents. And this is one of the fiscal year 26 capital projects for that facility.
Thank you, Christy. And I see in your presentation that this was originally in the capital budget for $150,000, correct?
Correct.
And as you noted, it's a reduction of, or savings of $57,000, which is very good. That is always good news. But I would also point out, this is a perfect example of why I proposed some of the amendments that I did to the capital budget, specifically for this type of thing. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, thank you for that, Christy. And we'll move on to item number 6, HVAC services for city-owned buildings, found on page 55.
Christy Moretti again, Public Works. We are requesting to award a new bid for HVAC services for city-owned buildings to Phalanx Engineering and CAM HVAC and Construction in the amount of $80,000 for a one-year period, August 30, 26 to August 29, 27.
Christy, what was the spend on this item for this fiscal year?
To date, we spent $74,639.71.
Okay. And as of today, are you pretty much up to date with whatever repairs or maintenance that is necessary?
We don't have anything outstanding at the moment, but
okay.
You know,
I mean, tomorrow you could.
It's kind
right?
of like a car. Yeah. Something could break.
Right. But the good news is right now, today, you're pretty well caught up.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Oh, I'm sorry. Councilman Ricks. I can't see a light, Councilman, because there are two colleagues between you and I. So I got Councilman Napper over here. He's going to be my guide.
Thank you, Chairman. So the Pilgrim Senior Center being within Ward 2, I was happy to see that this bid from the documentation provided came in at less than anticipated. And it's a Warwick company that was selected as the lowest bidder, if I'm reading it correctly.
Right. That was the last bid.
Oh, what am I thinking? Thank you again.
Christy, actually, I do have one more question. I assume that, how do you pronounce that name? The company?
Phalanx.
What is it?
Phalanx.
Yes. I assume they will have first choice, given the fact that their rates are about $10 an hour less than
Okay. Standard practice for us in anything that we do. We always go with lowest, and then, you know, secondary is
good
availability.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 7, 2027-052, Barracuda backup maintenance.
Good evening.
Well, I found on page 59.
Bill Carlucci, IT director. This is a request to award the licensing support and maintenance for our Barracuda backup appliance and cloud subscription to Visual Edge IT in the amount of $78,449.70. Visual Edge is our currently assigned channel partner. So Barracuda does not sell directly to customers. They go through channel partners and they assign you a channel partner. We switched to Visual Edge a few years ago and saved a few dollars because we had a standing relationship with them. Just a little explanation on what this is and how it compares to last year's cost. We actually use the Barracuda appliances per se, but in actuality, it's a cloud service. So we have two services, Barracuda provides us all of our off-site storage, so all of our data files, everything in the city is backed up through the Barracuda appliance connector here to the cloud. They also have our email archiving, so every email that has ever been sent into the city or sent out of the city is archived and retrievable through the archive process, through the interface to the cloud. In the past, these have been two separate invoices that have come in. I had asked them to make them coterminous, and they did. So last year, we actually had spent $34,470.90 for the backup portion from Barracuda. That's for a six-month period. When you extrapolate out 6 months to 12 months, there's hardly any of an increase from last year to this year. And this will be our first full year where you actually have both the mail and the data backup on the same invoice, on the same contract. There was a larger jump previous year before that. The rationale for that was, once again, we were on-prem. We actually ran those servers downstairs that did this service. They switched to a mandatory cloud service. That's when we migrated to that. It certainly wasn't a double of price, but there was a slight upcharge at that point in time.
Thank you for that, Director. I have to defend myself on that mispronunciation of Barracuda. So I had a flashback to my younger days when the vehicle, the automobile, came out and it was the Barracuda. And we used to pronounce it Bacaruda. So just for you not so old folks, understand what that happens.
I understood it without having to be told, so I fit into the same category.
That's right. Somebody can appreciate that, right? Okay. Any questions from members of the committee on either the Barracuda or the Bacaruda? None? Questions from the council? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 8, 2026-494. Police, purchase one Ford Police Interceptor found on page 64.
Good evening, Councilman. Robert Hart for the Police Department. The Police Department is requesting a 5610 use of a master price agreement to purchase one Ford Police Utility Vehicle from a government MHQ of Marlboro, Mass. Under the Greater Boston Police Commission Master Price Agreement Cooperative Bid, this patrol vehicle will be assigned to the patrol section of our fleet and will be replacing a vehicle that was involved in a collision and was totaled by the insurance company. Cost of the vehicle is $59,410.44. It will be funded through Budget Code 76358 insurance proceeds.
Thank you, Major. And thank you for responding back so promptly with the questions I had asked about this. And because I've always said that I want the members of the public to know the questions I ask and the answers I get, I'm going to read my questions into the record. Again, I thank you for your response. And I completely understand what this is going on now. So first question. I do not see any accounting showing the insurance proceeds received by the city for the total we've included. If we receive payments, when did the city get it? Was the accident the police department's fault? Was there a deductible applied to this claim? What was the amount the insurance company paid the city? Did the police department salvage lights, tires, sirens, etc. from the totaled vehicle? And your responses were right there on all my questions. First, the crash was the result of a DUI pursuit in which the suspect drove through a chain link fence gate and pursuit, and the gate came crashing down on the car, damaging the car being the police car, damaging the windshield, frame, roof, etc. Our insurance company paid this claim, but is still in negotiations to recoup the money from the suspect. The totaled cruiser was a 2024 with 18,000 miles. The insurance company provided $51,558 for the vehicle. Approximately $12,000 of that was for the lights, et cetera. Some of this got cut off, but we have a standard deductible of $2,500 per claim. We will be reusing various lights, radars, console, prisoner cage, et cetera. The salvage cost for the vehicle was $8,000, and the department elected not to keep the vehicle. And I thank you for those answers, Major, and how quickly you got back to me on that. So with that said, I don't have actually, I do. The salvage cost of $8,800, how was that factored in, and was that just assigned to the general fund or what?
I'm not following your question. Can you elaborate on that?
The salvage cost for the vehicle was $8,800.
So if we wanted to buy the vehicle back from the insurance company, we'd have to pay the $8,800.
Okay, got it. Good. Okay, I'm clear. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Napa.
Thank you, Major. I didn't ask you this question in advance, but it just dawned on me when we were sitting here and discussing this. The deductible that we paid out, or the city paid out, if the insurance company is successful with subrogation, getting some money back from the perpetrator, does the city get reimbursed first, their deductible? You may not even know this, but...
Have to check with finance on that. I'm not positive on
just
that.
Just curiosity, yeah. If the city gets paid first, so the insurance company gets the first bite at the apple, and then we kind of get the
right
leftovers.
Yeah, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Thank you, Major.
But the city is subrogating against the...
The insurance company is.
Right. Okay. Okay. Any questions from Councilman DeLuise?
Thank you. Yes, Major. So from what Councilman Lattice has said, that the insurance company paid $51,000?
Yes, $51,558.
So why are we requesting $59,000? Shouldn't we be putting that $51,000 towards the new vehicle?
We're using that part of that money to pay for this, but the total cost of the vehicle is $59,000.
Oh, so that okay. Money was... So you have $51,000. You only need another $9,000 to buy the vehicle, correct?
But we need the spending authority of a total of $59,000 to purchase it. That $51,000 was put into the insurance proceeds account, but we need permission to spend the full amount, which is the $59,000.
Okay, so that's going in, but then it's going to be coming out. So it's not actually, we're not actually spending another $59,000.
Correct.
No.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions? Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, that completes our items over 50,000. There are several items remaining under. Any members of the committee have any items they want held aside? You have one, Councilman Mutal?
I do.
Okay, which one is yours?
The 2026 462, the two coils at the Pilgrim Senior Center, 2026 490, the crowd control equipment, and that's it.
Okay. I have item number 11, 2027-043, found on page 86, a citywide striping. And I have item number 14, 2027-038B, found on page 99, medical supplies and medications. Any members of the council have any items that you would like held aside? Any members of the public? Do any members of the public have any items that you would like to have held aside? Hearing none, we will move on to the first request from Councilman Muto. It's item number 9, found on page 71, replace two fan coils at Pilgrim Center.
Hello.
Good evening.
This is more of a clarification question, is that these fan coils, would they be considered part of the same mechanism as the earlier bid for the air conditioning units or the air cooling?
So they're part of the They're part of the HVAC system in the building. The previous item was for the air conditioning specifically. These units actually are what disperse the heat and the air conditioning within the building to different areas.
Okay. No, I understand two different parts, but it's, will they be conducted? Are they part of the same system?
Essentially, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any reason why they weren't put into one bid?
Because there's multiple fan coils in the building, and they're not directly related to the chiller. The chiller is the chiller. The chiller only does air conditioning. These units are that there's 12 of them in the building. One's already been replaced. We're doing two now, and then we'll do probably two whenever, you know, for the next few years or whatever. But these units are in different locations throughout the building, and they disperse whether it's heat or air conditioning. So it's part of the HVAC system, but it's a separate unit.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Thank you, Christy. I'd also point out that this item also is less than what was approved in the capital budget, $15,660. And again, Christy, it's a good job for that savings, but just between those two items in less than 2 weeks, we've already realized $72,000 of additional monies that were put in the capital budget. That's all that I have. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, we will move on to the next item, item 11-2027-043, found on page 86, citywide street striping. Christy, so with this bid, does that include crosswalks?
No.
Okay. Does that include the road striping for the Gatsby Day Parade?
No.
Okay. What does it include?
It's just for city roadways that we do usually. Sandy Lane, Church Avenue, Jefferson Boulevard, city roadways that we either have the double yellow and the fog line on either side. Engineering provides a list to the vendor of roadways to be done.
Is it Jefferson Boulevard, isn't that a state street?
It is not.
It's not?
Nope.
I think I ask that same question every year. I just wanted to see if I remember.
We
I just
wanted
to see if everybody
want.
Else remembers. That's all. Just wanted just checking that you all remember.
That was
okay.
That was great self-control.
See? Wasn't that good?
Not her. That was great self-control on her part.
Don't listen to him. Okay, that was all my questions on that. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Thank you, Christy.